Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Bala Bala Kiri Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So we will read from the fifth chapter, which is Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings, and we'll read verse 5, which is on the board.
Nunam pramatta kruti vikarma. Yat indriya priya pritaya aprinoti. Na saru manye yatu atmano nam. Asanapi kreshara asadehaha. Nunam pramatta kruta vikarma. Yat indriya pritaya aprinoti. Na saru manye yato atmanoyam. Asanapi kreshara asadehaha. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yat indriya pritaya aprinoti. Na saru manye yato atmanoyam. Asanapi kleshara asadehaha. Yad indriya priyata apinoti.
So I guess we'll read the verse word for it. Nunam. Indeed. Pramata. Mad. Kurute. Performs. Vikarma. Sinful activities. Forbidden in the scriptures. Yat. When. Indriya pritaye. For sense gratification. Aprinoti. Engages. Na. Not. Saru. Befitting. Manye. I think. Yataha. By which. Atmanaha. Of the soul. Ayam. This. Asan. being temporary. Api, although. Kreshadaha, giving misery. Asa, become possible. Dehaha, the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Abhayachanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. When a person considers sense gratification to be the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting, an intelligent man to involve himself again in activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after the other. So we'll repeat. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body. But he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Begging, borrowing, and stealing to live for sense gratification is condemned in this verse because such consciousness leads one to a dark, hellish condition. The four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. In the Vedas, it is said, asango yaham purusha. The living entity is not really connected with this material world, but due to his tendency to enjoy material senses, he is put into material condition. One should perfect his life by associating with devotees. He should not become further implicated in the material body. Om Kamakshinandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitya Shri Gurve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gidam Yakripatam Aham Bande Shri Guru Dinatayanam Panchakalpa Tarumbascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktivedantam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. And again the verse. Nunam pramata karuti vikarma yatindriya piyat pitaya apri noti na saru manye ayato apanoyam asanapi kreshada asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he is perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So here, Rishabhadev is giving his sons a stark warning about being involved or immersing themselves in materialistic life. Of course, he himself is the Lord in the form of a liberated soul, and also his progeny, his sons, were also liberated and very wise individuals. Shishi Radhagati Balabaki, Jai Jagna, Jai Bhagavad, Jai Subhataki, Shishi Gorni Tai, Subhapadaki. So he is, in a sense, preaching to the choir, but still, to reinforce or to being a good father, he is reinforcing a very important lesson, saying that as living spirit souls, we are not meant to suffer in the material condition of life. We're not meant to be immersed in material consciousness, in taking birth after birth in different forms. And the term that is used for those personalities, like us, like me, who think that somehow if we could just change our material condition, somehow if we can make some adjustment, if somehow we have a better condition, we'll become happy. Realistically speaking, we find that even very wealthy, very successful people, people who achieve fame, fortune, all this, are not happy. In recent years, there have been some very famous people. Robin Williams, one person, had everything. Successful movie career. People loved him. But he ended his life. Why? What was that emptiness that was there? What was missing? What was the disconnect? What was somehow the thing that he could not see? And for those who are very fortunate to have come in contact with a pure devotee, and we are amongst that because for those like Muktavanya who have come in direct contact with Srila Prabhupada, we come in contact with his disciples and it just reverberates. So in a sense, we've come in contact with Srila Prabhupada by being in contact with his disciples. But by being in contact with a transcendental personality, such a person, because of their realization of the self, because of their Krishna consciousness, they're able to impart that into others. It is described, I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the definition of a devotee? And he said, devotee is a person who at least once chants the holy name purely. And then the second question, I think it was Sanatana Kumar who asked this. The second question is, who is a good devotee? And he said, the Lord replied, that a good devotee is one who is always chanting the holy name purely. And they asked, who is the best devotee? And he said, the best devotee is that person by whose very presence inspires others to chant. And so Lord Rishabhadev is saying to his sons, do not become so involved in this world that you forget yourself, that you forget Krishna. You may think, or we may become forgetful of our spiritual nature, and identify so strongly with the body, but it is temporary and it is a source of misery. And we may think, oh, well, this lifetime is not so good. I wasn't born into the right family. I didn't have the right body. If only I was a demigod. If only I was like a born into a wealthy family. If only this. Then I'll become happy. But we find that even the devas, even the demigods, suffer so much on account of the asuras. And the asuras are there to try to usurp the devas at every point. So even though they have such an opulent condition, even though they have such an opulent such power that they can control the universe, they control the elements of the universe, so many aspects. Indra, he controls the rains. And such a powerful position he has, but if you read the Bhagavatam, you read the Veda scriptures, he's always being harassed by the devas. Always some asura wants to take away his kingdom. So he's always in anxiety. And they may live to be a very, very long time, a million years, but that's still temporary. So we may live for 100 years, which may seem for an ant like a millennium. And an ant may be thinking, oh, if I can only have this human body, I'd be. But for us, look how quickly our lives go by. You know, soon I'll be 50. What happened to all the time? Seemed like yesterday I was just turning 25. Now all of a sudden I'll be turning 50. And then next thing you know, I'll blink my eyes again, I'll be 75. If I'm lucky. I've had many friends who even made it this far. So, in preparation for today, because today is Ram Vijayotsava, the day that we celebrate Ram's victory over Ravana. And so to prepare for this morning's class, I was reading, with Mother Induleka's help, some nice Ram pastimes, a translation of the Ramayana. And this verse is very fitting because Ravana, the descriptions of his palace seem like a very nice situation. The Lanka, as he had developed it, was very opulent. There were castles made of gold and fine jewels, with moats, with lilies and swans surrounding them. And the insides, the flooring, marble flooring, was so intricate, making beautiful patterns, and everybody's enjoying, but there's no bhakti, there was no spiritual consciousness. It just was a big party going on. Everybody was disheveled, engaged in all kinds of activity. And Hanuman, who was sent by Lord Ram to find Sita, to make sure that she's okay, he was looking for her. And in doing so, he was looking all for the city. In his description, we see that Ravana, externally speaking, from a material point of view, had such an opulent situation created for himself. But there was no bhakti. So therefore, there was no interest for Hanuman. In fact, Hanuman felt like, I shouldn't even be here. He said, the only reason why I'm even in this place, because he's brahmachari, the only reason why I'm even in this place is to serve my Lord Ram, to help find Sita. And you see that Ravana was very expert, very intelligent. Sometimes we think of demons as being, you know, little golems in the swamp somewhere and living a very wretched existence. But Ravana was a very intelligent, very materially advanced personality. But he did not have love of God. He did not have a spiritual connection with the Lord. In fact, he was inimical to the Lord. His only connection to Ram was that he wanted to enjoy Ram's life. And therefore it's described that when Ravana kidnapped Sita, it was not actually the Lord's internal potency that he had captured, but Sita assumed the form of Maya Devi, the material energy, because that's really what Ravana had wanted. He wanted to enjoy the Lord's energy, enjoy Shakti, the energy, but he did not want to serve the Lord himself. And so therefore the Sita that appeared before him, that he was in contact with, was not the Lord's internal potency, but his Maya potency. And so what I thought I would do for the remainder of the class is read from the Ramayana and read the day that Lord Ram defeated Ravana. But before I do so, does anybody have any questions or realizations they want to share? and looked at you? No? Okay. Okay, I'll continue. Okay. So this is the day that Ram defeated Ravana. Just before dawn, the Rakshasas rushed out from the city to fight with the monkeys, and a furious battle ensued. The incited Rakshasas quickly butchered many monkey soldiers, causing those remaining to run to the shelter of Ram's lotus feet. Ram then employed a spectacular Gandharva weapon that shot forth unlimited streams of arrows upon the Rakshasas. The showers of arrows were so dense that the Rakshasas could no longer see Ram. All they could see was a decimation of innumerable Rakshasa soldiers. Because of the Gandharva weapon, Ram sometimes appeared invisible. In other times, the Rakshasas saw 1,000 Rams standing before them in all directions. Within 90 minutes, Ram massacred 200,000 foot soldiers, 18,000 elephant warriors, 14,000 cavalrymen, and numerous chariot fighters. The survivors then fled back to the safety of Lanka as the demigods in the sky ecstatically praised Ram for his victory. Ram said, "Oh, great monkey heroes, you should know that the ability to employ such lesser weapons is only possible for myself and Lord Shiva." Meanwhile, in Lanka, the widows of the slain Rakshasas grouped together and lamented over the deaths of their husbands. They wailed out, "We curse Suparnaka, for she is the root cause of the enmity between Ram and Ravana and has destroyed our race. Because Ram has defeated Ravana many times in the past, Ravana should be well aware of his invincible prowess. Why couldn't our foolish king accept the advice of Vibhishana and avoid this carnage?" Hearing the women's lamentations, Ravana suddenly boiled over with uncontrollable rage. Hissing like a trampled serpent, he ordered his ministers, "Prepare my army for battle at once. Today I shall finally kill Ram, Lakshmana, and all the monkeys with my torrents of arrows. Bring my chariot, and make certain that every able-bodied Rakshasa soldier follows me." As Ravana commanded, 100,000 chariots, 300,000 elephants, and 60 million horse soldiers, and unlimited foot soldiers assembled. Ravana then mounted his chariot, drawn by 8 horses, equipped with innumerable and with numerous weapons belonging to the chief demigods. When Ravana came from his palace, he was greeted with a tumultuous fanfare of blowing conch shells, trumpets, and shouts of encouragement from the citizens. When the monkeys heard this uproar, feelings of fear and dread entered their hearts. Then, as Ravana exited from the northern gate, along with Mahodara, Mahaparsha, and Virupaksha, a gloomy atmosphere prevailed. Dark clouds, clouds obscured the sun, and rained down blood. As Ravana's horses stumbled on the road, Ravana's left eye twitched, his left arm throbbed, his face grew pale, and his voice became hoarse. Then, as meteors streaked across the sky, a vulture perched on Ravana's flagstaff. Ravana ignored these evil omens and continued on to meet his doomed fate. When the fighting began, Ravana created havoc, for none of the monkeys could stand before his onslaught of arrows. As the enraged Sugriva led the monkeys in a fierce counterattack upon the Rakshasa army, Ravana turned his attention toward Ram. Meanwhile, Virupaksha got down from his chariot and mounted an elephant. He rushed toward the monkeys while raining down arrows upon them. Sugriva tore up the gigantic trees and violently smashed the elephant, throwing it backwards. Jumping from the wounded elephant, Virupaksha picked up his sword and shield and angrily rushed at Sugriva. Although Sugriva hurled a large boulder at his ongoing rushing foe, Virupaksha dodged it and slashed the monkey king with his sword. Momentarily dazed, Sugriva fell to the ground, but he quickly sprang up and punched Virupika in the chest. This only enraged the Rakshasa more. Virupaksha cut off Sugriva's army and with his sword and gave him a kick, making Sugriva fall backwards. Again, Sugriva sprang to his feet. When he tried to give the Rakshasa a mighty slap, Virupaksha ducked the blow and punched Sugriva in the chest. Flaring with rage, Sugriva looked for the opportunity to strike and suddenly brought the palm of his hand down on Vipuksha's forehead with all his might. Immediately, blood gushed from all nine holes of the Rakshasa's body, and he fell down dead. Witnessing the death of Virupaksha and the loss of many Rakshasa soldiers, Ravana became even more incensed. He urged Mahodara to vanquish the enemy. Fighting heroically, Mahodara began to consume the monkey soldiers in great numbers, making them run for the shelter of Sugriva. Sugriva rushed at the Mahodara and hurled a large rock, but the Rakshasa broke it to pieces with his arrows. Boiling with rage, Sugriva tore up a tall tree, but the Rakshasa's arrows immediately cut it to pieces and pierced the monkey king. Sugriva took up an iron club lying at the ground and rushed towards Mahodara. He struck down Mahodara's horses, forcing the Rakshasa to jump from his disabled chariot. Mahodara then rushed at Sugriva while launching his mace. Likewise, Sugriva threw his club, and the two weapons collided mid-air, neutralizing one another. Bereft of their leader, Mahodara's army fled from the battlefield. Meanwhile, Mahaparsha appeared at the scene and began slaughtering the monkey warriors. When Angada saw his soldiers becoming disheartened, he took a heavy club and flung it at Mahaparsha with all his might. The Rakshasa and his driver were struck so violently that they both fell to the ground unconscious. Jambavan then hurled a large, huge rock that shattered Mahaparsha's chariot and killed his horses. Thus, when the Rakshasa hero regained consciousness, he was forced to continue fighting on the ground. Mahaparsha immediately retaliated by penetrating Jambavan's vest with three arrows and showering innumerable arrows upon Angada. As Mahaparsha's army scattered confusion, the monkeys and demigods shouted with joy, and Ravana seethed with rage. The king of the Rakshasas then mounted his chariot and advanced towards Ram, sending a continual stream of arrows. Ram counteracted Ravana's arrows with his own, and thus a fierce battle gradually evolved between the two arch enemies. Soon their continuous volleys of arrows covered the sky, creating darkness all around. The other monkey and Rakshasa soldiers ceased fighting to witness the spectacular contest. When Ravana struck Ram with the forehead of the arrow, Ram remained undaunted and retaliated with the Rudra weapon. Even though that missile discharged innumerable arrows, they simply bounced off Ravana's impenetrable armor without harming him in the least. Ravana evoked a mystic Asura weapon, causing countless arrows with the heads of lions, tigers, vultures, serpents, and alligators to rush at Ram, their mouth open to devour him. Although Ram employed an Agni weapon that melted the arrows of Ravana mid-air, thousands of monkeys were slain by them. Still, Ram and the monkey chiefs were pleased, since the weapon Ravana employed was known as one of the most powerful. Ravana then evoked a Rudra weapon created by Maya Danava, releasing maces, lances, thunderbolts, and nooses in steady streams. Ram quickly foiled the Rudra weapon with his Gandharva weapon. Ravana then discharged a brilliant Surya weapon that caused enormous effulgent chakras to shoot out at Ram. With a display of inconceivable skill, Ram shattered all the chakras with his arrows. But while doing so, Ravana pierced Ram's chest with 10 powerful shafts. Ram, however, did not flinch and retaliated by shooting Ravana's limbs with innumerable arrows. Desiring to enter the fray, Lakshman, released 7 arrows that cut down Ravana's flag. Another arrow, Lakshmana severed the head of Ravana's driver, and with 5 more split the Rakshasa king's bow. Then Vibhishana also rushed forward and killed Ravana's horses with his mace, forcing his enraged brother to jump from the disabled chariot. When Ravana angrily hurled the lance at Vibhishana, Lakshmana cut it to pieces with 3 arrows as it soared through the air. Ravana then picked up a magical spear manufactured by Mayadhanava. Seeing how Vibhishana's life was in danger, Lakshmana quickly hailed so many arrows upon Ravana that he became stunned while standing with spear in hand. Ravana shouted at Lakshmana, "Because you have dared rescue Vibhishana, the spear that was meant for him will instead take your life." Ravana roared like a lion and hurled the magical spear. As it unerringly soared through the air towards Lakshmana, Ram requested the spear to become ineffectual. Nonetheless, the spear shot through Lakshmana's chest and struck it to the ground, making the son of Sumitra fall down seriously wounded. When Ram saw Lakshmana's pitiful condition, he became extremely despondent, with tears filling his eyes. Then, suppressing his intense grief, Ram extracted the spear from Lakshmana's body, even as Ravana showered arrows upon him. Breaking the spear in half, Ram raised Lakshmana in his arms and tearfully embraced him. Then, after ordering Hanuman Sugriva to guard Lakshman, Ram angrily declared, "Now I shall exhibit my prowess against the wicked Ravana. I promise he will soon be slain on the battlefield. The monkeys may now go and sit at ease upon the mountaintops. Let them watch with the demigods as they perform a wonderful feat that will be glorified until the dissolution of the world." Ram attacked Ravana with vengeance. As they proceeded to cover one another with torrents of arrows, their twanging bows produced an astonishing clamor. The infuriated Ram soon overwhelmed Ravana, causing the Rakshasa to flee the battlefield in fear. Ram then went to Lakshman and with great anguish told Sushena, "Just by looking at my wounded brother, my strength immediately withers. Without Lakshman, victory will have no meaning for me. If he dies, I shall follow him just as he followed me when I was exiled to the forest." With a reassuring voice, Sushena replied, "O Ram, Lakshman is not dying. His facial luster has not faded and his eyes are still sparkling brightly. However, Hanuman must immediately be dispatched to the Mahodaya mountain to collect the herbs called Vishalya Karani, Sarvana Karani, Samjita Karani, and Samdini. By this medical treatment, Lakshman can immediately be restored to perfect health." Hanuman again leaped the Himalayas. However, arriving at Mahodai Mountain, he could not recognize the necessary herbs. In frustration, he again tore off the mountain peak. While holding it in both hands, he returned to Lanka. Placing the mountain peak near Sushena, Hanuman laid down for a moment to rest, saying, "I could not recognize which herbs to bring, so I decided to bring the whole mountain here." Sushena praised Hanuman and then went to look for the proper herbs. Thereafter, he crushed the herbs into powder, and when Lakshman was given them to smell, his wounds immediately became healed. As Lakshman stood up, Ram embraced him firmly, saying, "It is my good fortune that you're well, O Lakshman. Without you, there would be no use in recovering Sita or even maintaining my life any longer." Lakshman replied, "My dear brother, please do not indulge in such grief any longer. Quickly make good your vow to kill Ravana and install Vibhishana as the king of Lanka." Meanwhile, Ravana mounted another chariot and rushed out from the city, eager to fight with Ram. Ram took up the bow and released a downpour of arrows upon Ravana. However, from the sky, the demigods exclaimed, "This battle is not being fairly fought. Ram is standing on the ground while Ravana rides in a chariot." Taking this cue, Indra called Matali and ordered him to take his chariot to Ram on the battlefield. Matali thus came before Ram, driving Indra's golden chariot, which was drawn by 1,000 greenish horses. the celestial charioteer then announced to Ram, "My dear Lord, King Indra requests that you kindly accept this chariot for fighting with Ravana. Inside you will find Indra's bow and armor, along with an incomparable spear and celestial, various celestial arrows. O Ram, please mount this chariot at once, for the demigods are most disturbed to see you having to fight while standing on the ground." And we are running a little bit late, so maybe I'll just cut to this. Reminded of his ultimate weapon, Ram took up the arrow that Agatsya Rishi had formerly given him at the time of their meeting at the Dandaka Aranya forest. Lord Brahma had personally created this arrow for Indra's use, and later was presented to Agatsya. The feathers of the wonderful arrow were supplied by Garuda and presided over by Vayu. The razor-sharp head was created by the combined energy of the fire god Agni and the sun god Surya. Mount Meru and Mount Mandara contributed to their gravity, becoming the arrow's weight, and the shaft was made from a subtle ethereal element. The wonderful Brahmastra arrow was so omnipotent and infallible, and its dazzling effulgence rivaled the sun's. Empowering the arrow with the required mantras, Ram placed a terrible Brahmastra upon his bowstring. While gazing upon the flaming arrow, the monkeys became filled with delight, while dread penetrated the hearts of the Rakshasas. As Ram pulled the bowstring back to his ear, the earth began to shudder and the heavens appeared to be thrown into confusion. At last, when Ram released a Brahmastra, it sped through the arrow like death itself, striking violently the chest of the Rakshasa king, piercing through Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. The fierce arrow then entered the earth, taking Ravana's sinful life along with it. Then, as the wonderful Brahmastra re-entered Ram's quiver, Ravana dropped the bow from his hand. Vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, he fell down dead upon the ground. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" With great transcendental ecstasy, the monkey warriors loudly proclaimed Ram's victory and pursued the fleeing Rakshasa army. From the sky, the demigod shouted, "Well done, excellent," as they covered Ram's chariot with showers of flowers and beat upon celestial drums. With Ravana dead, the rishis and demigods felt blessed relief and peace of mind that they had not enjoyed for a very long time. A gentle, cool, fragrant breeze then began to blow, and the sun serenely spread its rays, so that happiness appeared to pervade in all directions. And I think we will end there. Granchad Sri Ramayan Ki. Granchad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.